to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Pastors we spoke to, we want to thank all the religious leaders from every community of faith in the country. The chorus of prayers that is coming up from communities of faith around the country is making the difference that it always has in the life of this nation.
These are the things that were said of Lutherans during plagues in the 1500s, 1600s, and 1700s, that they took care of people, that they did not abandon their communities, that they showed the cross of Christ. And COVID is an opportunity to do that again.
The problem is that history in schools won't talk about the history of Marxism. And so students are unable to place Marxism and socialism in any historical context.
He does have control of absolutely everything, but you just cannot see it. That's okay. You can see him.
Australian Lutheran pastors love listening to Issues Etc. while driving through the outback, dodging kangaroos.
It is a letter written by 16th century reformer Martin Luther in 1527. The plague was finding its way yet again through his part of Northern Europe. He wrote this letter that has come to be titled, Whether One May Flee from a Deadly Plague. You've probably seen it quoted in part all over social media, sometimes in support of contradictory reactions to coronavirus. Well, what did he really say? What was the situation? And why was he able to, walk the thin line between panic and foolhardiness? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon, March the 27th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be talking about that letter from Luther, Whether One May Flee from a Deadly Plague. Pastor Kevin Martin will be our guest. We'll spend some time talking about first world problems and coronavirus with Holly Shear. Pastor Michael Salamink joins us, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. We'll talk about affirming life at these trying times. Then Molly Hemingway will be alongside. We'll get a media report card during coronavirus from her. Lastly, we will play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We got four soundbites to play for you. We will play them in the last half hour, and then your vote will decide which will be soundbite of the week. You can vote then by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE, or vote in advance via email, talkback@issuesetc.org, Twitter @issuesetc, or at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us to talk about a letter from Martin Luther, Whether One May Flee from a Deadly Plague, Pastor Kevin Martin, pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Raleigh, North Carolina, and author of a column for First Things titled Christian Life in Plague Time. Pastor Martin, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
You say that during the plague of 1527, the reformer Martin Luther found that elusive middle ground between panic and foolhardiness. What do you mean by that?
Panic, on the one hand, there were people who fled their posts, who were mayors, physicians, pastors, bakers, cooks, and Luther criticized that as abandoning our neighbor in need. To apply it to our current times, I don't think Luther would think that just shutting ourselves in our houses would, I think he would say that's panic. Closing churches would absolutely be panic. On the other hand, foolhardiness. Luther says there were people who said, God wants to kill me, he's going to kill me, I'm going to go out and just, and some people even intentionally who knew they were infected went out and spread the plague. He said that such people were murderers. A good example he used was people who say, well, my neighbor's house is going to burn down, it's God's will, so I'm not going to throw any water on it. So unlike a lot of people, he encouraged quarantining, if you knew you were sick, avoiding people. So I think he would laud a lot of our practices of social distancing, testing, trying to minimize the spread of the disease. But I think he'd draw the line at extreme measures where we just wall ourselves into our fortress house. And he certainly would hate closing churches. Hate, hate, hate that.
How did Luther understand our duty to continue serving our neighbors at times like these?
he has an interesting perspective on this. He said, if you can find somebody to substitute for you, if you're a mayor or a physician or a pastor, then I guess you can go ahead and flee the plague. But if you can't, we all have to stay and do our duties. So if you're a plumber, hey, plumbing still goes on. If you're a farmer, people still need food. Most businesses, I think Luther would judge as serving some kind of essential service to our neighbor. And he said, we have an obligation to keep doing that. And especially we have an obligation where there are people who are sick who are not being cared for, even if it might risk our own health, to care for them.
What did Luther say about church attendance and especially about receiving the sacrament?
The end of his letter, he makes three points. Point one, he said, we must every week and even daily attend church to hear the word. He also said in his second point that we must receive the sacrament weekly or fortnightly, because this is the only way that we are strengthened in the face of onslaughts of sin, death, and the devil, to be bold, to be courageous, to be faithful. That without the public administration of word and sacrament and gathering together, with all of the risks that he knew that involved, Luther was not ignorant of how diseases were spread. He knew human contact was a risk. But he said that if we are not strengthened by Christ, we will certainly falter in the face of these great temptations.
Why was that so important to him?
I think because he saw that literally the social fabric of society was falling apart, and that when people were separated from the church's ministry, we're all weak, Luther himself included. He boldly and courageously opened his own home, which had been the Augustinian monastery in Wittenberg, and brought in infected people, and he, his family, personally nursed and cared for people. And the only way he was able to do that was daily hearing of the word and weekly reception of the sacrament. So he knew that if that was his only strength, we needed to rush to the pulpit and to the altar, because otherwise none of us would stay and do our duty to God and our neighbor, and society would literally collapse.
So he saw the two as related, that is, Christians strengthened by the word and sacrament, being able to courageously face the plague and continue to love their neighbors.
Absolutely. And that human strength will not avail. Even the strongest and most well-intentioned person, in the face of death and devils, will falter. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing.
Did Luther understand the plague at his time as God's judgment?
Yes, he did. He said that it was certainly a judgment on us for our sins.
How did he understand that punishment or judgment?
Well, he says two things about God's judgment. He said that the plague comes from God for two reasons: to punish us for our sins, but to test our faith in God and our love for our neighbor. So Luther was not interested in trying to say, ooh, you probably did something, that's why you've got the plague. I mean, he was just making a very general point that for all suffering in the world is to some degree God permitting judgment on our sins, permitting us to feel our sin, and hopefully lead us to flee for forgiveness and mercy and strength to Christ. On the other hand, he also thought it was God's judgment to test us as Abraham was tested. Sacrifice your only son Isaac. Your neighbor's sick. He needs you. These are our tests of our faith. But for Luther, it's a test that God wants to see us pass. That if we're strengthened by the word and sacrament like Abraham, he will endow us with the strength to do above and beyond what we would be able to do on our own. And at the end of the day, Luther thought God was wanting to see us pour ourselves out in love for our neighbor, in faith in his goodness and mercy. It's a very evangelical perspective.
So why does God allow things like this to happen?
Luther doesn't even try to say beyond, again, the two points that I made, that it's certainly on one level punishment for sin. On the other level, it's an opportunity to test our faith and love, and also for us to test and rely upon God's faithfulness to us and his love for us. Luther didn't try to say, well, for me, is this something I did wrong? Or is it like the man born blind so that the wonderful works of God can be shown in me? Luther would, I think, say to that question, yes.
How did Luther understand Satan's role in disease and plague?
Chairman of the board, leader of the pack, that the devil, as our Lord says, is a murderer and a liar. He uses disease and plague to frighten and terrify us. And that Satan is above all, essentially. Luther didn't exactly use this word directly, as far as I know, but Satan's a terrorist. And the real problem with plagues and disease is not death or illness. The real problem is fear. The fear that we have to protect ourselves, the fear that would separate us from Christ and his word and sacrament, from our fellow Christians and from our neighbor in need. And the devil is really has one aim, and that is to destroy our faith. And he can only do that by leading us away from Christ and his church. So the devil is wily, and he's cagey, and it leads back to the first point, that the great weapon in all this is word and sacrament ministry.
So if we adopt Luther's view here, we can understand our current circumstances as both the work of the devil and the work of God to two very different ends.
Absolutely. I mean, the book of Job really, I think, was not far from Luther's mind. While he does not cite it specifically in the letter, Job didn't know, is this God or is this the devil? And only we know from reading the preface that the answer to that was yes. God pointed out that Job was faithful. The devil said, I'll make you a bet. I bet if you hurt him, I bet if you rough him up and take all this stuff away, he'll deny you to your face. And God said, all right, just don't kill him. So God and the devil interact on the heavenly sphere in ways that we're probably better off not knowing. But if we did know them, we would find that our Lord only permits temptation in order to strengthen our faith in Christ, and that he will not give us more than we can bear.
Why is it dangerous for us to speculate beyond what God's word says at times like these regarding God's purpose?
Right, because it's a slippery slope that quickly separates us from faith in the word. Well, once we start speculating and trying to peer into God's hidden will, the devil has got us right where he wants us, and he is, contrary to popular belief, much smarter than any human being. And he will take us apart if we start trying to use our wisdom to guess what God might be doing in his hidden counsel. As Luther says in Bondage to the Will, we have to always operate only with God's revealed word. And what's revealed there is our sins are forgiven in Christ, and by receiving that forgiveness, we are strengthened in our faith towards God, our ability to truly love and serve our neighbor.
So finally, for Luther, what was the Christian's weapon against fear and dread?
The word and sacrament and the public administration thereof. Luther is very adamant at the end of his letter that, as the writer of the Hebrews says, we must not neglect assembling ourselves together. Just sitting at home with your Bible was not something that Luther counseled. There's something about gathering together with our fellow believers around the publicly preached and rightly administered sacraments that unites us and that strengthens us in a way that no other mean, no other weapon, no other tool in this world can ever do. So churches need to stay open.
Pastor Kevin Martin is pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. He is author of a column for First Things titled Christian Life in Plague Time. You'll find a link to it under the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Kevin, thank you.
Thanks, Todd.
Be sure to add to your prayer list those who are serving in our armed forces during the global pandemic. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces is dedicated to serving those who serve. Find out more about their efforts at lcms.org/armed forces. lcms.org/armed forces. Holly Scheer joins us next to talk about first world problems during a virus outbreak. I've written a column for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving, We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Did you know that for over 40 years, Lutheran Church Extension Fund has had the humble privilege of supporting Lutheran Church Missouri Synod ministries with low-cost loans and resources? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Because of faithful investors like you, we've been able to help church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations. To learn how you can get involved, call 800-843-8233.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Overnight, the world has become a strange place. The abnormal has become the new normal.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Every faithful little church is an ark of salvation. With Christ on board, we will get safely to the other side. Be of good courage.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
The Simply Classical curriculum for special needs moves at my child's pace and gives her exactly what she needs. So writes Amber, a homeschooling mother who has joined thousands in homes and schools teaching from this uniquely Christian classical approach to special education. Teach students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome based on ability level rather than chronological age. Use promo code LPR20 today at classicalspecialneeds.com. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.